This podcast is made possible by thousands of dedicated listeners just like you. Be a part of this powerful three-decade legacy of evangelization by visiting materdeiradio.com or downloading the Hail Mary Media app. And thank you for joining us on the bridge between your faith and everyday life.
Welcome to Sunday Commentary, a weekly program designed to break open the Sunday Scripture readings. Join us as we listen to God's Word and seek to grow in our love and understanding for the good news in our lives. And now, Sunday Commentary with Kevin Doran and Carla Wehrman.
The Liturgical Scripture Readings for the Fourth Sunday of Easter. A reading from the Acts of the Apostles. Paul and Barnabas continued on from Perga and reached Antioch in Pisidia. On the Sabbath they entered the synagogue and took their seats. Many Jews and worshippers who were converts to Judaism followed Paul and Barnabas, who spoke to them and urged them to remain faithful to the grace of God. On the following Sabbath, almost the whole city gathered to hear the word of the Lord. When the Jews saw the crowds, they were filled with jealousy, and with violent abuse contradicted what Paul said. Both Paul and Barnabas spoke out boldly and said, "It was necessary that the word of God be spoken to you first, but since you reject it and condemn yourselves as unworthy of eternal life, we now turn to the Gentiles. For so the Lord has commanded us, 'I have made you a light to the Gentiles, that you may be an instrument of salvation to the ends of the earth.'" The Gentiles were delighted when they heard this and glorified the word of the Lord. All who were destined for eternal life came to believe, and the word of the Lord continued to spread through the whole region. The Jews, however, incited the women of prominence who were worshippers and the leading men of the city, stirred up a persecution against Paul and Barnabas, and expelled them from their territory. So they shook the dust from their feet in protest against them and went on to Iconium. The disciples were filled with joy and the Holy Spirit. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. The Responsorial Psalm. We are his people, the sheep of his flock.
We are his people, the sheep of his flock.
Sing joyfully to the Lord, all you lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful song.
We are his people, the sheep of his flock.
Know that the Lord is God. He made us. We are his. His people, the flock he tends.
We are his people, the sheep of his flock.
The Lord is good, his kindness endures forever, and his faithfulness to all generations.
We are his people, the sheep of his flock. A reading from the book of Revelation. I, John, had a vision of a great multitude which no one could count, from every nation, race, people, and tongue. They stood before the throne and before the Lamb, wearing white robes and holding palm branches in their hands. Then one of the elders said to me, "These are the ones who have survived the time of great distress. They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. For this reason they stand before God's throne and worship him day and night in his temple. The one who sits on the throne will shelter them. They will not hunger or thirst any more, nor will the sun or any heat strike them. For the Lamb who's in the center of the throne will shepherd them and lead them to springs of life-giving water, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes." The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus said, "My sheep hear my voice. I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. No one can take them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all, and no one can take them out of the Father's hand. The Father and I are one." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. Christ is risen. Alleluia.
He is risen indeed. Alleluia.
Carla, as we celebrate this fourth Sunday of Easter, we are again in this Easter season. Easter Day may have been a while ago, but we are in the Easter season itself.
It's so great to have the Alleluias back.
Oh. It is. It is. And this week also is a special celebration of Mother's Day. And I wanted to provide a little reflection from the apostolic letter Mulieris Dignitatem, or On the Dignity of Women. And this is what the part of the conclusion says. Therefore, the church gives thanks for each and every woman, for mothers, for sisters, for wives, for women consecrated to God in virginity, for women dedicated to the many human beings who await the gratuitous love of another person, for women who watch over the human persons in the family, which is the fundamental sign of the human community. The church gives thanks also for all the manifestations of the feminine genius which have appeared in the course of history. In the midst of all peoples and nations, she gives thanks for all the charisms which the Holy Spirit distributes to women in the history of the people of God, for all the victories which she owes to their faith, hope, and charity. She gives thanks for all the fruits of feminine holiness. Meditating upon the biblical mystery of the woman, the church prays that in this mystery, all women may discover themselves and their supreme vocation. So to my wife, my daughters-in-law, to you, a very blessed Mother's Day to you.
Thank you.
And we also have a wonderful mother we're celebrating this week with Our Lady of Fatima. Of course, Fatima is well-known, well-read, and in 20 seconds, I'm not going to share all that. But I guess the thing that struck me this time was I guess I had forgotten that while the first apparition happened in May of 1917, the story actually started back in 1915. When Lucia and her friends noticed the appearance of a cloud in the form of a man. And then that started several appearances of an angel to Lucia, Jacinta, and Francisco. So again, kind of going back, I had forgotten about some of those early manifestations of the actual angel coming and visiting. And there's some actually amazing stories with that, with those visits.
Yeah.
So please go back. There is a wonderful booklet, I guess I'd call it, called The True Story of Fatima by the Fatima Center. Please spend some time, since that is such a beautiful story.
It is.
Today is Good Shepherd Sunday. So we're going to see in our response or our Psalms, the second reading, the gospel, a wonderful shepherd theme. And so, Carla, did you know that it has been said that every pastor deserves 6 weeks of vacation a year? Did you know that?
No, I didn't.
You know why?
No.
All right. Well, if he's a good shepherd, he deserves it. And if he's a bad shepherd, his congregation deserves it. There you go. There's your segue into the Good Shepherd Sunday right there.
Okay.
So let's move into the first reading.
All right. Well, okay. Yeah. In this first reading from the book of Revelations, we hear the, it's from the book of Acts. I was jumping to the gospel right away.
That's a good joke.
We're still in the book of Acts. Okay. And we hear that when the Jews saw the crowds of people that were being drawn towards the disciples, Paul and Barnabas, they were filled with jealousy. And I want to take just a quick moment and kind of talk about this jealousy. So jealousy is different from envy. Jealousy is, it means not wanting to share someone or something that you possess. While envy is a disordered resentment toward another person because of what that person has. So they're very different. Jealousy can be good. You know, you say like a man, you know, with a righteous jealousy over his wife, but envy is always a disordered act, and envy is one of the seven deadly sins. So just so they're not confused, because a lot of times we do that. Jealousy and envy, we kind of use them like they're interchangeable, and they're not. They're very different. So in this reading, we hear that there were many Gentiles who had converted to Judaism, and they were gathered in the temple. And that when they heard Paul and Barnabas teaching the gospel, they started to follow them. And the Jews, they became jealous. And why? Well, they were jealous because they were in danger of losing those newly converted Gentiles to these Christians. I think at the time they were still being called the Way. And it just got worse for the Jews when Paul and Barnabas explained that because the Jews rejected Jesus, the word of God would now be shared with the Gentiles. but the Gentiles were delighted. And that is what made Christianity such a radical movement, because it broke down the barrier between Jew and Gentile.
It does. But when you notice, you talked about jealousy and how difficult, and sometimes that we face very public, very violent opposition to spreading the gospel. So the church and its members must remain faithful to God, even when it's difficult. And I wanted to share some of the wisdom of Pope John Paul II. He was back when he was Cardinal Carol Wojtyla. Back in 1976, he said this when he was visiting the United States. "We are now facing the final confrontation between the church and the anti-church, of the gospel versus the anti-gospel. We must be prepared to undergo great trials in the not-too-distant future, trials that will require us to be ready to give up even our lives and a total gift of self to Christ and for Christ. Through your prayers and mine, it is possible to alleviate this tribulation, but is no longer possible to avert it. How many times has the renewal of the church been brought about by blood? It will not be different." How important it is to not only realize the struggles we have, but also to pull joy. In the end of this first reading, it says they shook the dust from their feet, but they were filled with joy and the Holy Spirit. So even though we're going to have these very difficulties, think about the joy that we can obtain in fighting for Christ. Remember, think about how their suffering forged their love for Christ in a very concrete way. Sometimes it's easy to be kind of milquetoast if everything's going easy. It's during those difficult times when you forge those bonds. I think about the military veterans who served together in direct conflict, right? They became brothers for life. I think we also need to become brothers and sisters for life. We are all fighting for the same good, and today's difficulties will forge a strong bond between us, and that will give us joy when we're led by the Holy Spirit. Yeah. That's a joy that we need to embrace, that suffering, that difficulty with us, that joy, knowing that we are together a bond of Christians that are fighting for Christ.
And it's something we no longer take for granted when it's being taken away from us. When we face that threat, we have to fight for it.
That's exactly right.
It for granted.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah, very true. And moving to our gospel today, we hear according to John.
Yeah, and he has a quote from what Jesus had said, and Jesus used the image of a good shepherd to describe his relationship, the kind of relationship he wants to have with us. Now, the average Jew at that time would have been very familiar with what we now know as Psalm 23, in which David described God as a good shepherd. So when Jesus referred to him as a shepherd, the Jews got the message loud and clear, and they understood that Jesus was referring to himself as that same good shepherd, and they got angry. Jesus used the imagery of shepherd and sheep to describe the kind of relationship that he wants to have with us. He wants to lead us and to protect us, to feed us and to shelter us. And his plan is not just stand back and watch. His plan is to be completely involved in our everyday lives. And we have a part to play. You know, we have to decide whether or not we are willing to follow Jesus. You know, whether we are going to be his sheep and allow him to shepherd us.
Yes. Continuing on with that shepherd theme, we hear Jesus say, "My sheep hear my voice. I know them and they follow me." So we see the sheep recognizing the voice of the shepherd and then following him. But what about a young lamb, or what about a sheep introduced to a new flock? They follow the flock until they recognize the shepherd. And I think that's a really important part. And that's how important it is for us to be Christians, is they follow the flock until they recognize the shepherd. No one becomes a disciple on their own. We have friends, family, mentors, and pastors to help us. And that's why we need to have our eyes wide open as we follow Christ. There's a quote from St. Thomas Aquinas that says this, "I see thanks to sunlight, but if I close my eyes, I can see nothing. My blindness is my fault, not the sun's. For in closing my eyes, I shut out the sunlight." We indeed must be Christians with our eyes wide open so we can always point ourselves and others to Christ.
Alleluia.
You've been listening to Sunday Commentary with Kevin Doran and Carla Wehrman, produced at the studios of Modern Day Radio. For more information about this show, go to moderndayradio.com. That's MATEREDEI radio.com.
If you enjoyed this podcast, please consider sharing it with a friend. You can support this vital mission of evangelization through materdayradio.com or the Hail Mary Media app. And thank you for helping us lead souls to Jesus through the Blessed Virgin Mary.